From the Club Raymond Motor Cars Studio, you're listening to News Radio 1290 WJNO, an iHeartRadio station.
The thoughts and opinions expressed are those of the sponsors and don't necessarily reflect those of this station or iHeartMedia.
This is the Family Center for Recovery show. Join us now to learn ways to begin the path to recovery. The Family Center for Recovery treats patients that most centers don't. Learn more at FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com.
Here we are, Sunday afternoon. You've just tuned in to the Family Center for Recovery show. And your host, Peter Nathan. Thank you for making a part of your Sunday afternoon. With me today in the studio, very special guest from over at Family Center for Recovery. I've got Michaela Panariello.
Thank you so much for having me, Peter. This is the coolest thing ever. I've never done anything like this, so I'm very excited.
Welcome to the show. I know we visited the other day, and there's a lot of really neat things that we're going to be going over today. Your background. Could you please tell for our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you found Family Center for Recovery?
Sure. So I'm 27 years old, and I grew up in Boca Raton, Florida. I went to undergraduate school at UCF, studied psychology, and then I went through my master's program at FAU, and I have a master's in mental health counseling.
Excellent. And I think you also mentioned family. I think your mother is also in the same field. Is that?
Yeah. She has been doing therapy for the last 10 plus years. So I went to therapy as a child as well. So I was always interested. I always knew what I wanted to do, but I had difficulty finding the right area of counseling. I thought I wanted to do children's counseling, and that really wasn't a good fit for me. And just through some course of events, I landed myself in substance use counseling, and I am obsessed with it.
The really neat thing is that a parent who's also in the field, there's a lot of things that you learn along the way that certainly as far as with a master's program, there's a lot of things you learn there, but there's a lot of things that, you know, the dinner table conversation, things along those lines. Family Center for Recovery, how did you find Dr. Moran and Family Center?
So as part of the program for your master's degree, you are expected to intern at a facility and get some field experience before you graduate. So we have a list of pre-approved places. This was one of the places on the list, so I decided to check it out. I was actually in between a couple. I couldn't make a right decision. And so what I actually ended up doing was taking a pendulum crystal and asking it, you know, is Family Center the right place for me? And it said yes. So that sold me. Also, you know, upon my interview with the clinical director, I loved the building right away. It was an old hotel, so it's very uniform, very clean, organized. So that really caught my eye. A lot of, like, other places are in, like, plazas, but this is a freestanding place, and I just thought it looked really appealing to me.
Yeah, I think you mentioned to me also you met with clinical director Stacy Hodges, and you're very impressed by her professionalism and the program that Dr. Moran offers. Dr. Moran and Family Center for Recovery, your specialty is working with
adolescents.
Mm-hmm. And I know that there's a lot of listeners out there, parents, grandparents, that and aunts and uncles that have questions about adolescents and the right program and how you select the right program. Day in a life. Could you maybe go over for our listeners a little bit as far as your day-to-days and working with the adolescents and the other staff that's involved?
Sure. I mean, we're a unique program because not all places take in adolescents. I know a lot of the times it's a liability and places are fearful of taking on that type of responsibility because it's a lot. But I feel strongly in that prevention is easier than intervention. So I think it's important to get kids in when you start to see little warning signs and catch it before it grows into something bigger. So a day in the life, we feel that school is still really important, even though, you know, the adolescents are still dealing with other issues. We still want them to be well-rounded individuals. So at 8:30 to 10:30, we focus on schoolwork. So that looks like online homework. We have them study for their driver's license tests and any other other extracurricular activities they might be doing other than groups. So at 10:30 every morning, we have what's called community. So community is very unique because it's a time for all the therapists, all the patients, and Dr. Moran, as well as medical students and any interns from different schools around the country to come in, and we kind of process the day-to-day. It's a free-flowing group, and we just get to talk about the daily progress and struggles in treatment. We also invite family members to come in as well, and we have family therapy basically in front of everybody. We like that everyone's issues are out in the open. I find that it's helpful for families to learn from other families, patients to learn from other patients. And for me, you know, I recently graduated, so I find that it's really helpful for me to learn from Dr. Moran and the other more experienced therapists.
Community. I know that that's a unique type of therapy as far as from standpoint of what we use over at Family Center for Recovery. The advantages that you just mentioned, I know that Dr. Moran is actively involved in and right there with the patients and also with the other therapists. Could you maybe expound a little bit more about community and some of the experiences that you've noticed as far as with patients and Dr. Moran and interactions?
Sure. I mean, and I know Dr. Moran has said this before too. It's very easy to be manipulated in a one-on-one situation. It doesn't matter how much education or experience you have, but you're at a disadvantage when doing individual therapy. So we strongly believe that community is the most effective way to treat patients because maybe he's catching something that I'm not. And so that gives him the opportunity to point that out to the patient as well as myself, and then we can address those issues.
Sounds like an excellent mode, and people would probably learn, and patients learn, and everybody involved learns. It's quite a bit. Okay, so we got community. We've mm-hmm. done schoolwork. What next for the adolescent?
So
what are we doing
after
next?
That, we kind of break down. They have four more groups throughout the day. So that's more topic specific, focused on topics such as cognitive behavioral therapy, anger management, relapse prevention, social cognition, dialectical behavioral therapy, which is a really large subject. So we kind of break it down into different categories, such as interpersonal effectiveness, which is basically like forming relationships, how to have healthy relationships, emotional regulation, things like that. At the end of the day, we dedicate time to recreational therapy. We think it's really important for kids to get their exercise. Health and wellness is a big deal. So we want them to have a little bit of fun, too.
The therapies that you just mentioned, there are quite a few of them, cognitive behavioral therapy, dialectical. Maybe could you expound on one of your favorites or a couple of your favorites as far as therapies that you like to use when you're working with?
Yeah, sure. So I'm a big fan of cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT for short. It's an evidence-based practice, so it's been found to work quite effectively. So basically what it is, it's looking at your thoughts and looking at your behaviors and seeing the connection between the two and integrating emotions in there as well. So sometimes you'll have a feeling, which will bring about a thought, and then that'll bring about a behavior. So oftentimes, if you're having a negative feeling, you'll have a negative thought that follows, and then you'll act out in a negative, unhealthy way. So we try to address the thoughts and shift those negative thoughts into positives or more realistic, and thereby creating healthy behaviors.
Excellent. Sounds like a really tremendous type of therapeutic process that we work with our patients. It's the thing that what I've noticed is over at Family Center is that evidence-based, these are treatments, these are modes, these are therapies that are proven, that have helped and led to people and patients and adolescents and success in their behaviors. What are some of the warning signs? Let's say that there's a parent, a grandparent, aunt or uncle out there, and they're kind of like saying, I'm noting some changes. What are some of the warning signs that might clue somebody in as to they might want to look into some programs that we offer over at Family Center?
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you mentioned that because a lot of times I've found that parents or even adolescents overlook the types of behaviors that I'm going to get into, and they tend to minimize them. But like I mentioned earlier, prevention is easier than intervention. So noticing these early warning signs and not brushing them under the rug and chalking them up to, oh, it's just a young adolescent boy doing his thing. No, we really need to be aware of the warning signs. So a lot of what I'm seeing recently is lack of judgment, lack of insight, reckless behavior, lack of anger management skills, lack of communication skills. That might be in part to social media, where kids don't really have to communicate effectively because they just type it or they just send a picture. But it's really lacking in the community. A lot of times I'll see school. School is a big deal. If they're failing classes, if they're running away, that's a major warning sign, obviously.
For those of you who've just tuned in, you're listening to the Family Center for Recovery Show. I'm your host, Peter Nathan. With me today in the studio is from over at Family Center for Recovery, Michaela. She's an adolescent therapist. She works closely with, and we're talking as far as an adolescent, hobbies, friends, maybe new friends. Are those things that parents should maybe keep an eye out for as far as grandparents as well?
Definitely. So right now, what I'm seeing is a lot of budding personality disorders. So it's important to note that adolescents cannot be diagnosed with personality disorders because their brains aren't fully developed yet, their personalities haven't developed yet, but we're experiencing that adolescents are exhibiting a lot of the traits.
Thought-provoking, introspective, something that probably a lot of our listeners weren't aware of or even know that exists out there. Some other thoughts that you have as far as working with adolescents, the day in a life.
Day in the life. So we've actually just recently opened a transitional living for adolescents. It was always there for the adults, but we found that this gives adolescents the opportunities to grow as humans and be successful people in society. So this gives them the opportunity. So let me just backtrack for a minute. At the residential level of care, the adolescents live and attend groups at the clinical building. At the next phase of care, which is called PHP, Partial Hospitalization Program, they live at transitional and attend groups at the clinical building. So what this does is it helps them foster independent living skills. They're able to go grocery shopping, cook for themselves, clean the dishes, make their beds, do the laundry, a lot of things that they were not doing at home.
Excellent. I mean, those are all the types of things that somebody who's out there listening would wonder and want to know as far as, but it also sounds like a lot of activity, a lot of getting and doing and things along those lines.
Yeah, definitely. We want them to be well-rounded, like I said. So we want to focus on the mental health aspect, but we also want them to be independent, self-sufficient adults that contribute positively to society.
So if you just tuned in, you're listening to the Family Center for Recovery Show. I'm your host, Peter Nathan. Michaela's in the studio with us today. We're talking adolescent programs and some of the things as far as a day in a life. We're going to be going to a short commercial break. With that, thank you for joining us, and we will be right back.
You're listening to the Family Center for Recovery Show. Find out more about the Family Center for Recovery on Facebook.com/Family Center for Recovery. The Family Center for Recovery treats patients that most centers don't. We'll be right back. The Family Center for Recovery in Lantana is the only treatment center in Florida owned and operated by a triple board certified psychiatrist. This means the Family Center for Recovery does treatment the right way. They treat substance abuse, depression, bipolar disorder, OCD, anxiety, teens and adults at all levels of inpatient care. Check out the innovative, life-changing treatment the Family Center for Recovery in Lantana has to offer at FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school or even let alone go to college, so I'm trying to break that barrier. My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, studied hard, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone. I feel like if I didn't have anyone to push me, I wouldn't even bother to do it. I got one milestone down the drain, and now I got to work on the next. I see the future is really bright for me. I feel like it doesn't matter the age, as long as you go back and get it done. The high school diploma is just added to the confidence, and now I feel unstoppable.
No one gets a diploma alone. You have more support than you realize. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Family Center for Recovery radio show. If you wish to share this broadcast with a friend, you'll find the link at the Family Center for Recovery's website, fcfrmd.com. That's fcfrmd.com.
Welcome back. For those of you who just joined us and tuned in to the Family Center for Recovery show, I'm your host, Peter Nathan. And with me today in the studio is Michaela. She's an adolescent therapist. We are talking about personality disorders, and there's a lot of times somebody might have a question as to their behavior and whether or not something is so. Your thoughts, Michaela, personality disorders, like we're talking.
So as far as adolescents go, it's very important to note that adolescents cannot be diagnosed with personality disorders. They are too young. It's part of the criteria that you need to be 18 years or older to be diagnosed. However, we see a lot of adolescents exhibiting certain traits. So one thing that comes to mind is borderline personality traits. We see this so much. And I feel that it's really helpful to, I guess, get labeled by this, because it's empowering in a way. You can understand yourself better. So to know that you have borderline personality traits, it's helpful because you get to understand this is why I have low self-esteem. This is why I self-harm. This is why I manipulate my parents. And it's helpful for the parents as well, so they can look out for those certain traits. This is why I need to be validated all the time. This is why I seek to belong in certain groups, and then I act out in certain ways where they don't accept me, and I feel like everybody hates me. This is why I have a distorted perception, and I have all or nothing thinking patterns. So once you know what's going on, you can educate yourself on how to effectively manage those traits before it fully develops in adulthood to a disorder.
I would imagine that there's a sense of relief that you probably see when you're working with an adolescent and they finally come to there's a realization as to there is something and how do we go about treating. So that I would imagine that you see that on a regular basis when you're working with adolescents.
Yeah, it's so great, that moment when you see that light bulb go on and they're like, oh, this is why all these things are happening to me. Like, it's so simple now. I totally get it. And it's really gratifying. That's one of the best things about my job, is when they get it.
I would imagine on a day-to-day basis, I mean, it's got to be very heartwarming. It's got to be very, how should we say, as far as rewarding, as far as working with adolescents and some of the successes that you've seen along the way. Could you mind sharing with our listeners as far as some of the successes and things that you've seen, however they may be?
Sure. I mean, it's awesome to work with adolescents and they really thrive while they're here. But a lot of times I've found that if the parents are not doing their part, the adolescent is going to fail. So it's really, really gratifying when you see the child working just as hard, or the parents working just as hard as the child, and they come back together as a healthy family and cohesive unit.
Family Center for Recovery, an active part of as far as treatment and parents. What are some of the things that I know parents that are out there, they're thinking to themselves, what are areas that we should be cognizant of as far as when our adolescent son or daughter grandson, granddaughter are going through treatment. What are some of the things that you see parents as far as that they could, their involvement, and as far as I know, we do a family weekend. What are some of the things as far as that you see that are helpful to parents as far as the treatment?
Great question. So we only do family weekend every 2 months. So in the interim, we have so many outlets for support because, as you know, families are so important. I mean, it's a family disease, so everyone is affected by what's going on with their loved one. So in the meantime, we have GroupMe, which is basically a chat room for families. It's a 24/7 support network. All of the therapists are on it. Dr. Moran is on it. So families can reach out to us as well as other family members that are struggling with similar issues and get support that way. Another thing that we offer is family support phone calls. So that is a conference call every Tuesday that we facilitate. A therapist runs it. But families kind of take it on themselves and get support that way as well. We don't talk about the patients. It's solely for the family's recovery and their journey through this process.
The latest, as far as in social media and things that are available, as far as technology, GroupMe, I know is something that's very impactful as far as working with and helping so many that are involved in treatment. As far as your thoughts and some things that involvement over at Family Center, I know that a key concern is that they're dropping off a loved one for treatment, and you know, it's okay. So, what type of supervision is there? Somebody 24/7? And we touched a little bit earlier as far as residential, transitional. Could you maybe kind of go over as far as the supervision and things that we do as far as care, patient care with adolescents?
Sure. So at the residential and PHP level of care, the adolescents are monitored 24/7. There's always a staff member around to help them or just oversee what is going on. At IOP, the structure and supervision is a little bit reduced. If they live locally, at that point at IOP, which stands for intensive outpatient, they would reintegrate into their home environment and still attend therapy groups and individuals at the clinical building. But this gives them the opportunity to kind of dip their toe in the water and see what it's like to go back home and really challenge them to implement the skills that they've been learning.
The thing that I've noticed too is that assessment is such a key component as far as the treatment and the team. And it's something that, from what I understand, it's something that therapists work in conjunction with Dr. Moran, and they develop a plan, and they go over amongst. Is that the standard procedure as far as how we work with patients and things along those lines?
Yeah, I mean, assessments aren't my area of expertise, but we do work collaboratively with the medical side as well as the clinical side to develop an individualized treatment plan that focuses on the patient's core issues, whether that be self-harm, anger management, family conflict, substance use, of course. We tailor our treatments to each individual patient and what their real needs are.
That's important as far as to recognize the personal care that somebody is receiving as far as an adolescent. For those of you who have just joined us, you've tuned into the Family Center for Recovery show. Thank you for making us a part of your Sunday afternoon. We're talking about adolescents, and we're talking with Michaela. She's a adolescent therapist over at Family Center for Recovery. And your thoughts, what are some of the things as far as that over at Family Center that I know you mentioned to me that you had been in a different facility and now you're with Family Center. What are some of the things that maybe you see that we do a little differently or a lot differently over at Family Center as opposed to maybe some other facilities that you've been involved with?
Well, the number one thing that stands out to me is the family involvement. Without the families, the loved one, whether they be adults or adolescents, are not going to be successful. But especially with the adolescents, because, you know, they stay at residential and PHP with us, they learn all these skills, they get healthy. And then a lot of times I've found that when they reintegrate into their home and the parents aren't healthy, it basically undoes all the work that we just did with them.
That's so important as far as the family involvement, for them to be to be dialed in with the treatment as far as what their son or daughter, what they're being working with, and the different types of modes of treatments. Another family, the family weekend that we do every other month, that's extremely impactful, very involved as far as Dr. Moran and working very closely with the medical students, with the therapists and things along those lines. Could you maybe expound a little bit more for our listeners as far as family weekend and things and how all that works?
Oh my gosh, yes. If you could see me, I am smiling ear to ear. Everybody looks so forward to family weekend. It is the most amazing process that I've ever seen. And process is such a great word because it really is a like 5-hour process group where we get to acknowledge everybody's families and the dynamics that they might be struggling with. And everyone just is so vulnerable and just lays out all of their issues in front of everybody, in front of 80 people. And we get to talk about what's going on and work through it. And a lot of times you see the issue get resolved in that moment. And it's amazing. But I know some other places, family weekend is about eating lunch with your loved one or going shopping with your loved one. And we really focus on education. If you don't know what's going on with your child or your loved one, how are you going to help them? You don't need to eat lunch with them. That's for later, you know, when they're healthy. But we really focus on educating the families about what's going on with their loved one.
The family weekend, the community where all the families come together, it's also from a standpoint of realizing that you're not alone in this, that there are other families that are experiencing and going through the same things that maybe you're going through. And I know that as far as talking with other parents and people that have been involved in the program, that it's very relieving from a standpoint of stress, but also understanding as far as what's involved. Your thoughts as we talk more about Family Weekend, which is a very unique from a standpoint of treatment that we offer over at Family Center for Recovery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's similar to the adolescent communities that we do every single day. Like I mentioned before, hearing some feedback from a peer versus an authority figure or a therapist, it might come off differently to someone who's struggling. So we translate that kind of idea with the families too. So the families support one another and maybe they can answer things in certain ways and give support that a therapist is not able to give in that moment.
Adolescence. If we're looking at adolescence, I mean, we know as far as ages for adolescence. For our listeners out there, adolescence would be what ages?
13 to 17.
And how does that work as far as, let's say, somebody starts in a program, maybe they're 17, and then, okay, they turn 18. How does all that work as far as progression, as far as therapies along those lines?
Well, we're big proponents of continuum of care. So just because you turn 17 doesn't mean you're booted out. We want to see you from day one to question mark. You know, we don't put a time limit on your time here. So if you did enter into the adolescent program at age 17 and you happen to turn 18, at that point you would be able to enter the adult community and continue, you know, to have Dr. Moran as your doctor and see some of the same people that you were around before.
So let's see, the adult community, somebody progresses. So over at Family Center, we treat adults as well as adolescents. How does that work out? Are they separated in any particular way as far as the treatments? And I know it's a clinical facility. Is there a certain floor that's denoted?
Yes, definitely. We keep them separated at all times. So the adolescents are on the third floor, adult patients are on the second floor, and they do not intermingle.
Excellent. So if you've just joined us, listening to Family Center for Recovery show, we're going to be going to a short commercial break, and we're going to be talking further as far as family, adolescence, with our guest that I have in the studio today, Michaela, adolescent therapist from Family Center for Recovery. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be right back after a short commercial message.
Family Center for Recovery is the only facility in Florida owned and operated by an addiction psychiatrist, Dr. Robert Moran, and he's dedicated his life to helping the people no one else will. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
At the Family Center for Recovery in Lantana, they treat little problems before they become big problems. Unfortunately, 98% of treatment centers won't treat teens because they think it's too difficult or not profitable enough. Whether your teen is struggling with behavior issues, substance abuse, or mental illness, they believe every kid deserves a chance. Contact Family Center for Recovery or go to FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com. Family Center for Recovery. Before little problems become big problems.
As an 18-year-old, I let my mistakes kind of take over my life. I was 0.5 credits away from completing high school, and I didn't do it.
10 years later, at age 28, Jackie finished her high school diploma.
When I found out that I was pregnant, I know that I had to do something for myself if I wanted to make her a better person and provide a better life for her. My family never stopped pushing for me to be better because they knew what I could become and who I could become as a person. My support team is amazing. The educational director, my sister, and even my 7-year-old daughter has just been more than the support that I could ask for. I've been given an opportunity, and I'm just thankful for it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school or even let alone go to college, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter Brooklyn was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, studied hard, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone. I feel like if I didn't have anyone to push me, I wouldn't even bother to do it. I got one milestone down the drain, and now I got to work on the next. I see the future is really bright for me. I feel like it doesn't matter the age, as long as you go back and get it done. The high school diploma is just added to the confidence, and now I feel unstoppable.
No one gets a diploma alone. You have more support than you realize. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is the Family Center for Recovery show. The Family Center for Recovery treats patients that other centers don't, including teens, expectant mothers, patients with mental health issues, or needing a medical detox. Call 855-202-4220.
And we are back. Thank you for making us a part of your Sunday afternoon. You've tuned in to the Family Center for Recovery show. Thank you for making us a part of your Sunday afternoon, wherever that may be. If that may be doing chores around the house, if you could be maybe at a picnic, or I'll just offer a drive on your Sunday afternoon. I'm your host, Peter Nathan. With me today in the studio is Michaela. She's a therapist, adolescent therapist, over at Family Center for Recovery, working with adolescents. And there's a lot of things that more and more we're seeing as far as transgender, as far as a really questions as far as in the news and as far as therapies, then somebody has a son or daughter and they're like, where do we go? Who do we talk to? I know over at Family Center, we're involved. We understand maybe your thoughts as far as transgender, as far as treatments and modalities and things that you've seen as far as our treatment team and what we've been able to do in that area.
Yeah, I mean, we've had several cases of individuals coming in who are transgendered, and it seems like they're fully accepting of their situation. However, they struggle with other people not being accepting, and that's where the issue lies. So because they feel not accepted, that's when they act out, like I mentioned, with cutting and aggressive behaviors and things like that. So, I mean, there's no separate modalities that are specifically helpful to transgender individuals. I mean, obviously, cognitive behavioral therapy, like I mentioned, dialectical behavioral therapy, the same modalities can be treated for those individuals. They're not any different than anyone else.
So if I'm out there and I really don't know much about any of these types of things, and I'm thinking to myself as far as Okay, so there's some behavioral things that are going on, and then substance use. How does that factor into some of this stuff as far as somebody is having some questions about their sexuality or as far as isolation or anger management? Substance use, what kind of things maybe could somebody be using or doing or in those types of things? How does that all work?
Well, it's kind of a mixed bag. I mean, a lot of the adolescents, they thankfully haven't had too much time to experiment. So a lot of times we'll see someone with cannabis use disorder. So they're just primarily smoking marijuana. However, we have had other cases where people are using Xanax or cocaine or even selling drugs. So those are some of the things that we're seeing now.
We were talking about this the other day, too, and it's okay, so treatment. How long does treatment last? I mean, let's say somebody's been 7 years as far as using some type of substance use. Well, how long does somebody go in for therapy and things along those lines? What are some of the things you run across there?
Well, that is the million-dollar question. I see so many parents, you know, drop their kids off and say, when is he going to be discharged? When is he coming back home? And the answer is that there is no answer. I mean, it takes as long as it takes. Like you mentioned, if somebody's using for 7 years, my thoughts on it is, don't you think that it's going to take a little bit more than 30 days to undo all of the damage that's been done over the last 7 years?
And that's a really important point, too. And that's where, you know, you get into the cognitive behavioral therapy. You're changing thinking that's evolved and become ingrained. So it's not something that just happens overnight, so to speak. Dialectical therapy, and that's a big word. And it's also something I'm sure probably some of our listeners out there are wondering, what is dialectical? So could you maybe kind of explain to our listeners a little bit about dialectical and what all that means?
Sure. So dialectical behavioral therapy, to put it simply, is walking the middle path and creating a balance. So a lot of times we are people of extremes. So we're on either one end of the spectrum or the total opposite. So dialectical behavioral therapy kind of takes some from the left side and some from the right side and integrates them to have a well-balanced middle path. So it can be broken down into several categories, including emotional regulation, distress tolerance, interpersonal effectiveness. And so we work on all of those areas, and we have groups for all of those areas. And mindfulness. I'm sorry, I forgot mindfulness, which is so important.
Excellent. For those of you who just tuned in, you're listening to the Family Center for Recovery Show. I'm your host, Peter Nathan. With me today in the studio is Michaela. She's a therapist, adolescent therapist over at Family Center for Recovery. We're talking about different types of therapies and things that we work with as far as with patients and things along those lines. There's a lot that goes into it, and I know that the team is so devoted over there at Family Center as far as working with the adolescents and the parents and the family's involvement. Some of your thoughts is things that you like, there's a lot of different facilities out there. There's some unique things that we've talked about at Family Center as far as the community and the active involvement and involvement of family. But what are some of the other things that you really like about going to work every day over at Family Center?
Oh my gosh, there's not even enough time to talk about it, honestly. I enjoy it because every day is a new adventure. You never know what's going to happen, and you kind of have to expect the unexpected. And it really gives me, as a fairly new therapist, opportunities to be flexible and adapt and change to whatever the situation is at hand. I also love everybody that I work with, which I think is super important. So we are all really a team and a family. We're our own family at the Family Center for Recovery. We all make decisions together, and I feel like my voice is always heard, which is really important to me.
That's the thing that I've noticed about the Family Center is that it is a team, and that it's a place as far as very refreshing, and that opinions and things are all part of, which is so important. I know Dr. Moran is very involved as far as an addiction psychiatrist. We talk a little bit about as a brain disease. And I know that we've touched on it on some other shows, and we were talking about it the other day, and we're talking about it a little bit before we went on air. Your thoughts as far as, and without getting too technical as far as all the different things involved, the brain and this and that, but, you know, for the layperson that's out there thinking or saying to themselves, what is this brain disease and how does addiction work and things like that? So your thoughts as a therapist and being able to explain it to our listeners out there.
Sure. I mean, I feel like a lot of people like to kind of separate mental health and substance use. And the fact of the matter is that they're not different. I know Dr. Moran has said that it's a false dichotomy. People like to separate them, but it's all one and the same. The same part of the brain is affected by these disorders. It's the prefrontal cortex. So when that's not working properly, you're not going to have good insight. You're not going to have good judgment. That part of the brain is responsible for decision making. And you can see those like functions not properly working as evidenced by your adolescents or loved ones' behaviors.
Which is what we're looking at as far as a medical perspective. And that's the thing that I know over at Family Center, which separates us from other facilities that are out there in treatment, is that we're looking at it from a medical perspective. We're assessing, and then from there, there's a treatment that's developed, which is evidence-based as far as for that particular individual. And I would imagine that there's a lot of relief as far as like when somebody does realize that there is a plan, there's an objective, and that there's some proven modes of treatment that will be able to help their loved one. Your thoughts as we're talking about evidence-based therapies and the importance of and being able to look at it as a medical perspective.
Yeah, I mean, integrating evidence-based practices is super important. You want to make sure that this actually works and people aren't just throwing away their money for nothing. So we definitely integrate cognitive behavioral therapy, dialectical behavioral therapy. Like I said, the community meeting is extremely effective, I've found. And it all just works. It all just works together.
So once somebody's been through treatment and now we're an outpatient, and as far as follow-up and things like that, it's something that's continual, and it's something that lasts somebody's life. And what are some of the things that somebody might, as far as expect once their son or daughter has been through treatment, as far as ongoing care and things along those lines? What are some of the things that we maybe do as for adolescents? Do we have groups? Do we have things as far as follow-up and things along those lines that they can stay in contact with us on?
Oh, of course. So like I mentioned, when the adolescent goes to the IOP level of care, intensive outpatient, at that point they reintegrate into their home environment, but they still are being monitored by us. They come in for groups every couple of days. And as time goes on and we see that they're getting healthier and healthier, we decrease the days. So at OP, they'd still be a patient with us. More or less, they just come in for a group once a week and an individual session. But beyond that, as far as like after discharging goes, we do have an alumni program, and we have alumni coordinators reach out and see the progress that patients have made after they've been discharged. We follow up with everybody that has come through our doors.
That is so important, that continuum of care, which is something that we're noted for over at Family Center. Somebody comes in and it could be for residential, transitional, then you also have as far as the outpatient, things along those lines. Your thoughts before we go to commercial break?
I wouldn't want to work anywhere else.
it surely is a special place. We're going to be going to a short commercial message here, and we're talking as far as adolescence and a lot of things as far as that maybe are on people's minds as far as things regarding treatment, family, along those lines. So thanks again for joining us. We'll be right back after this short commercial message.
Like the Family Center for Recovery on Facebook to learn more about their mental health service and Addiction Resources Center. Located in Lantana, Florida, the Family Center for Recovery treats patients that most centers can't. Call anytime, 855-202-4220. We'll be right back. The Family Center for Recovery in Lantana is the only treatment center in Florida owned and operated by a triple board certified psychiatrist. This means the Family Center for Recovery does treatment the right way. They treat substance abuse, depression, bipolar disorder, OCD, anxiety, teens and adults at all levels of inpatient care. Check out the innovative, life-changing treatment the Family Center for Recovery in Lantana has to offer at FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school or even let alone go to college, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, studied hard, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone. I feel like if I didn't have anyone to push me, I wouldn't even bother to do it. I got one milestone down the drain, and now I got to work on the next. I see the future is really bright for me. I feel like it doesn't matter the age, as long as you go back and get it done. The high school diploma is just added to the confidence, and now I feel unstoppable.
No one gets a diploma alone. You have more support than you realize. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
As an 18-year-old, I let my mistakes kind of take over my life. I was 0.5 credits away from completing high school, and I didn't do it.
10 years later, at age 28, Jackie finished her high school diploma.
When I found out that I was pregnant, I know that I had to do something for myself if I wanted to make her a better person and provide a better life for her. My family never stopped pushing for me to be better because they knew what I could become and who I could become as a person. My support team is amazing. The educational director, my sister, and even my 7-year-old daughter, she's been more than the support that I could ask for. I've been given an opportunity, and I'm just thankful for it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Family Center for Recovery radio show. If you wish to share this broadcast with a friend, you'll find the link at the Family Center for Recovery's website, FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com.
And here we are, Family Center for Recovery show. I'm your host, Peter Nathan. Thank you for making us a part of your Sunday afternoon. Our special guest today, Michaela, she works with the adolescent program over at Family Center as a therapist. Things that you might be looking to do out in the community. If you got your pen and paper handy, there's going to be the Fed Up Rally, which is going to be coming up on the 31st of this month, Thursday. And I know that in the news lately, there's a lot going on as far as the opioid crisis epidemic. And if you'd like to show your support, you could find out more locally here at www.fedUpRally.org. I know that there's going to be rallies throughout the United States and Washington, D.C., but we're going to be doing something here locally. It's going to be held in Boca Raton. You can find out more about that. It's going to be on the 31st this month, Thursday. Before we went to commercial break and while we're talking, Michaela was mentioning as far as her involvement. I mean, there's a lot of different areas that somebody could work as far as in counseling and things along those lines. What drew you to adolescents and wanting to work with adolescents as a professional therapist?
So as I mentioned before, I've found that prevention is so much easier than intervention. It seems like the adolescents are a little less stuck in their ways. They haven't been exhibiting these behaviors for so long. So it seems like they're a little bit more open-minded to change and able to change. Also, I love explaining complex concepts to them in a simple way. I feel like I don't need to put on my best speech or be super professional. I can kind of be relatable to them, but still maintain that boundary and explain, what's really going on with them.
And that's so important as far as being able to connect and be able to relate to and things along those lines and truly enjoy and love what you do as far as a therapist. I know that when we look at as far as involvement, I know that there's, I think you mentioned the other day when you're with group or when you're working with adolescents, that there's usually somebody else there with you. So somebody's trying to envision as far as somebody's in therapy, if there's you and some of the therapists and how many adolescents are there generally, usually, how does that usually work as far as?
So right now, the adolescent program is thriving. We've got about 14 adolescents. I think 9 of them are in a higher level of care at this point. So they are there every single day, every day of the week. So the room is packed. And that's in addition to all the therapists, Dr. Moran himself, the medical students, and sometimes family members. So the room is packed. We also are never alone. Like I mentioned, we're such a cohesive team that, you know, you'd never have to be fearful of being in a room by yourself just in case anything were to happen. Somebody might get aggressive. You always have that support of another staff member with you.
That's so important as far as supervision, making sure that there's staff that's professional and has the credentials as far as being able to provide the level of care and the type of therapy that somebody's looking for is in their loved one. I mean, we're getting ready to wrap up here, and some closing thoughts that you might have about your relationship over at Family Center and Dr. Moran as a professional and as a medical director. What are some of your closing thoughts that you have about Family Center?
I love it. I wouldn't want to work anywhere else. I mean, I came in based on a pendulum, but I stayed because I was so mesmerized by Dr. Moran and his team and the work that they do. I can't say enough about it.
Yeah, and then the neat thing too is that it's the students that come from 50, there's 50s, maybe 60 universities, colleges that are actively involved, and I see the care that they give as well. And I would imagine that's got to be very enlightening as far as to be working with the medical students that are in their doing their residency. Your thoughts on some of the students that are also involved as far as working with and learning alongside with? What are some things that you draw off of that?
Yeah, it's a really unique situation. I mean, Dr. Moran really gets to mold young minds and the future of medical practices and clinical practices. I mean, I came in originally as an intern. I didn't have my master's degree at that point, and I was able to get hired because I'm so passionate about the work that we do at Family Center for Recovery. And I feel like I grew up at that building. I really came into my own, and medical students get the same opportunity. And a lot of times, this is funny, some of the patients will say that we're brainwashed or that we brainwash their families, but I'm taking back that phrase, and that's actually a positive thing. Maybe some people's brains do need to be washed of all the dirty things that they've been doing. So I'm happy to be brainwashed and drink the Kool-Aid, as they say.
Well, and that's the thing is that so many people out there looking for answers. They're looking for somebody that they can believe in. And that's the thing is it's based off of medical practices, research, things that are work and well documented. That's the thing that we provide over at Family Center. And the thing that's so enlightening is to know that there is hope and there is somebody out there. And the neat thing about Dr. Moran and the facility is it is the latest and the greatest. It is the research and things that are out there. We're getting ready to wrap up here. Your last closing final thought.
I know I've said this a whole bunch of times, but I just love it.
Yeah, it truly is. A unique place. I'm out and about in the community. I visit with a lot of other facilities and people that are involved with. And what truly comes back is that exactly it. Passion, true love of going to and working with and being a part of. So we thank you, Michaela, for coming in to the studio today and talking about Family Center and what it means to you and some things that you've learned.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.
Well, thank you.
But I got to get back to my patients.
There you go. So devotion. So thanks again for making us a part of your Sunday afternoon. We look forward to having you again next Sunday and tuning in to the Family Center for Recovery show. Thanks again, and have a great week. We enjoyed having you. Thank you. Bye.
This has been the Family Center for Recovery radio show. To learn more about the center or to send a link of the show, visit fcfrmd.com. That's fcfrmd.com. Join us next Sunday at noon for the Family Center for Recovery show.
Tablets is all it takes to make your thin hair